Hi, everybody. It's Carol Clark here, and I am so excited. I'm here with the one and only Dr. Sean Garber here in New York. I have had a blast visiting his offices over the past day or so, and he's got so many exciting things going on that really help people grow their practice. I wanted to make sure that I brought that to you. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to Dr. Sean Garber. He is the founder of the New York Bariatric Group, which has really exploded over the past number of years. So tell us a little bit about what you have going on.
Yeah, Carol, thanks for having me here today. Pleasure having you check out our practices. Anyway, I started New York Bariatric Group back in 2000 as a solo practitioner in a small office with my wife as the front desk person. So I started from nothing. And I was the first surgeon on Long Island in New York to do laparoscopic bariatric surgery. And the practice kind of exploded because I was one of the pioneers in the area.
Yeah.
I hired a second surgeon a few years in because we were so busy. Dr. Holliver, who's still with me now, has been with me for about 16 years. Considered him my other son that I never wanted. And we then got approached by some other hospitals to help set them up bariatric programs because we had such a successful bariatric program. And initially I was like, I don't want to drive an hour to this other hospital. It's too far. But my rule of thumb in business is always take a meeting. You never know what it can turn into. And we worked out a really good arrangement where they help fund administrative services fees to help fund a new surgeon there. So it really is a no-risk proposition to get another program up and running. So that worked out in Port Jefferson, another part of the Catholic health system. I'm the chief of bariatric surgery for the whole Catholic health system on Long Island, which is five hospitals. Mm-hmm. And we set up and built all their programs. So we run everything. And then from there, I just started getting into marketing, direct-to-consumer marketing. I think one of the key differentiators of our practice is that we market directly to consumers. Yeah. Where medicine, as we all know, hospitals are buying up all the primary care doctors, referral sources are disappearing because they're sending them to their own doctors. Mm-hmm. And in my business model, the fact that we're direct-to-consumer, we advertise right to the patients, I don't need to worry about where my next patient's coming from. So that's a key differentiator, is that direct-to-consumer model lets me sleep well at night knowing that some hospital's not going to gobble up my referrers.
Right.
I really think that's helped really propel our business model. And now, believe it or not, over the last 6-7 years, we've been growing by about 30-40% each year. We now have 14 bariatric surgeons. We have 15 offices in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And really, the practice has really just taken off really well.
Right. That's amazing. I'm a big believer in direct-to-consumer marketing as well. So I think that's awesome. And you're really a techie guy, aren't you?
I am. I have a bunch of different technology companies I've started. I started my EMR, BariTrax 360, which runs our practice. It's a workflow solution. It's a company I started and founded. As well as a company called Virtual Healthcare Partners, which is a virtual nutrition app where patients can do one-on-one visits with nutritionists from home. I'm beta testing my office and RFID tracking system for patients to look at efficiencies within the office.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely have integrated technology. Whenever I saw a need for something in my office, instead of trying to find a solution that didn't fit, I would build it myself.
Right. Yeah, one of the things I noticed while I was here is that you have a really engaging staff. And so even though you've got all this tech going on, you don't lose sight of, you know, the patient and that whole personalized touch, it seems.
Sure. Yeah, so it's very important. As we got larger and larger, one of my concerns was people think we're a big factory or a big mill and they won't get that one-on-one service. And we've done a lot of things to help alleviate that worry, because we have every patient, when they leave my office, I see them in my office for a consultation. We do a one-on-one PowerPoint presentation. I have a big flat screen TV in my office, one-on-one with the patient. And after I'm done seeing the patient, go mobile old surgery, they go meet with the bariatric concierge. So you sit down in an office with a bariatric concierge and they give them that personal touch. They have their contact information and they have that one point person in the office they can always get in touch with via email or phone to help them through that work process. And then we pride ourselves in customer service. We have a sophisticated call center where all the calls for all of our offices come through.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a call center manager. We record all the phone calls. We listen to them for quality. All of our call center people go through usually about 3 months of training before we let them answer calls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think customer service, that front line, is really, really important. And to give that personalized service, like you said, I think it's important to maintain that as you grow bigger, you want to keep maintaining that personalized service, which I think we offer.
Right, right. Yeah, your staff has been really awesome. Really kind people and lots of great ideas and places that you're doing, that sort of thing. So a lot of people on the podcast here don't have 15 offices. They don't have like all this ancillary support and all this technology going on. If you could nail down just a couple of things that you think that they need to focus on in order to make sure that they are not only maintaining a quality practice, but growing that.
Sure.
What would be the top tips that you would give to them if they have resources like you?
Yeah, so I think the number one thing obviously is quality with surgery. So you want to be a good surgeon, you don't want to have complications. I mean, that's the most important thing always. You want to have good quality surgeons, you want to give the best care to your patients, you want to be always available to your patients. I give all my patients my email address. Some doctors give their cell phone numbers as well. I don't do that yet. But they always have my email, which I'm on all the time. So patients could always get in touch with us. And I think that you really just need to really give that one-on-one attention to those patients to help grow your business.
Mm-hmm. Now you've got something kind of cool that happened in August.
Yeah.
Right? What was that all about? Because I'm going to let him tell you about that.
Yeah, so in medicine, in most states around the country, there's these corporate practice medicine laws where a non-physician can't own a physician practice. So I've built a very successful practice. I wanted to be able to monetize that. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, practices, once you can't sell it to a non-physician, you can sell it to a junior physician. Most junior physicians don't have enough money to pay for a practice. Or you can sell it to a hospital. And hospitals, we know, they don't pay anything for practice. They'll give you a 3-year contract, and then they'll screw you after 3 years. And that was not an option for me at any point.
I hear that all the time.
Yes. Sure, yeah. So doctors are very, in general, most doctors aren't happy when they sell it to a hospital. So what we did was we said it was called an MSO, which is a management service organization. And what that is an entity where all the non-clinical aspects of our practice runs through. So we do all our billing through the MSO, all the non-administrative, all the administrative staff, non-clinical staff are employed by the MSO. All the call centers run by the MSO. All the advertising goes through the MSO. All the leases are paid through the MSO. And what happens is that the PC, which is my corporation, pays the management company money to perform all those services. And they're entitled by law to make a profit on that. And private equity firms are really, really interested in investing in healthcare now. There's billions and billions of dollars in private equity firms. And healthcare is a huge part of our GDP, and they really want to get involved in healthcare. So this MSO model has been very commonly used in dermatology. Most dermatologists are part of an MSO now. Dental practices called the DSO, very common. Most dental practices are part of it, anesthesia, radiology. So we set up the first platform bariatric surgery MSO in the country. And in August 26, we closed a transaction with Sentinel Capital, a big private equity firm based in Manhattan that's investing out of a $2 billion fund right now. And they purchased 2/3 of our MSO. I still own a portion of it. And the play plan for these MSOs is I still run the practice. They don't affect our PCs. So from the doctor side, we still practice how we were. And that's an important thing, is that they don't tell you how to practice medicine. All they do is they're going to help us to grow and build the practice larger. So pretty much now our goal is we're planning on expanding nationally across the country. So anyone watching this, if you're interested, contact me. We are looking for large, successful private practices around the country to fall under this model. And the private equity firm in our MSO will pay money for the practice up front, a large amount of money up front. And the nice thing about that is that money that we pay up front is long-term capital gains, so you save about 20% on taxes. And then we invest in the practices to grow them. So we'll invest in marketing and advertising, add the technology that we have on our platform to their offices. All the overhead becomes risk on us, so they don't have to worry about overhead. So they don't have to worry about rents going up and malpractice insurance going up. We take on all risk of the expenses of the practice and the leases of the practice, everything. And the doctors continues to work, and we help to grow that practice to hopefully increase what they're making, and they got money paid up front.
Right.
And then the goal is, and then we also like to give them some equity in this MSO, so that these private equity partners, in 3 to 5 years, they usually like to sell the MSO to a bigger private equity firm, and usually a 3 to 4x multiple. So there's a good return on your investment in 3 to 5 years after you get involved in the MSO. So that's a typical playbook, but it's really an exciting opportunity for practice. Private practices are really, it's all power in numbers, we know. So insurance companies, they like to beat up the little guys. Hospitals like to beat up the little guys. But when you're part of a bigger organization like we are. So we are 15 doctors and 15 offices. We have a lot of power with insurance companies in New York right now. We have some of the best rates we were able to negotiate because we're so large, where the solo practitioner, it's very hard to do that. So becoming part of a larger organization through this MSO model, you still maintain your autonomy where you're still running your day-to-day of your practice. We're just going to help augment it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to help you become part of a bigger team of physicians that are like-minded and want all of us want to grow it larger. Right. So it's a really great opportunity for private practice.
Because I think a lot of times people may shy away from that, but Sentinel, you already had a great model there that just kind of adds that whole additional support from a financial perspective and just from legitimate on a much larger scale.
Yes.
But you said a lot of things that physicians are frustrated about that you can help with. One is, you know, not being able to have any negotiating power, you know, having to worry about this huge overhead, having to worry about their day-to-day salary and having something set that's coming in, having an investment that can grow over time.
Sure.
You know, having somebody to take over some of the headaches of the administrative side of it.
Yes.
Having like that whole body, I mean, that's a big
yes.
deal. So
yes.
What if I'm in another state? Like you've talked a lot about New York, but what if I'm in Texas or California or Florida and
right now we have offices in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, but we're in far along talks with multiple large practices through the country in Ohio and California and Texas and Atlanta.
Yeah.
So we can go anywhere. We won't go and hire and acquire a one man group and partner with a one man group because it'd be hard to get economies of scale. Each state you have to negotiate different insurance contracts. So our goal is to go into like California, we're talking to five different practices now in the LA area, and you get all five practices on board, then you have power in numbers and that's where it makes sense. Or one large group with three or four surgeons, that's a great opportunity for us as well. We're also looking into the ASC model. We think that's part of the future with sleeve gastrectomy as well. And what Sentinel gives to us is they give us unlimited amount of money to back us so that we can acquire practices. And they have the know-how. They've done this before. They had a spine practice in Maryland that they purchased that had 10 doctors in one state. And within 5 years, they expanded to 10 states with 70 doctors and sold it at a 4X multiple. So they know the playbook. They know how to work with physicians, found their own businesses. That's their playbook. And they've been really instrumental in helping us to grow since they came up with our office.
It's exciting times for sure. That is a big deal. And I am really excited about what you're doing. I'm excited for what it provides for potential independent physicians to help them with some of that angst and worry that goes into it every day, whether you're in a solo group or in a larger group, because certainly there will be a time down the road where those solo groups will also be of interest. And so if somebody's interested in this, how do they reach you first?
Yeah.
Let them know that you watch this podcast, of course.
Yes. And if you're interested, just reach out to me. It's Dr. Sean Garber at the New York Bariatric Group. My email is garber@nybg, NYB like boy, G like girl .com. You can email me anytime, but we are aggressively looking for great practices around the country. Mm-hmm. And we're really happy to have Carol here. She's kind of came here to help us with our retail side, which she has amazing experience with. We have a little mini storage in all of our office, not as sophisticated as Hutch Storage. She's helping consult with us to help us grow that portion of our practice as well, which we've all private label branded products that we use.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure. And I will have his contact information down below. Make sure that you check that out. It's something that you want to really research. And like you say, it never hurts to have a conversation.
Yes.
That's how a lot of things happen in this world.
You never know what it can turn into.
Yeah, you never know. So I encourage you to reach out to Dr. Garber if you have interest in that. And if you're a solo practitioner or a solo group, I'm not sure why you wouldn't have interest. So anyhow, I appreciate your time. I know you're busy.
No, thank you very much for having me on your podcast.
Okay. Everybody, have a great day. Continue to positively improve the health of your community, helping people lose weight and keep it off for life. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Take care.